So hear now the very word of God as it is given to us in the book of Daniel, reading from the second chapter, verses 17 through 23. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." And may the Lord bless this reading of his word to our understanding this morning. Let's ask him to bring it alive for us. Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we have this meditation on the elements of Thanksgiving, and we attempt to learn what it means to have a full-orbed Thanksgiving, that we would thank you in a rich and a full way, not just in a casual or a nominal or a shallow way, but that we would consider the fullness of what it means to be thankful to the God of heaven. And we will give you the glory for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as all of you know, obviously this is a Thanksgiving Day service, so it's all about Thanksgiving. And later on today, millions of people will gather around their tables for a Thanksgiving feast. And most of those people will not give even a second thought to the foundations of this particular holiday. It's a Christian holiday, please. It was established by the Puritans at a very early stage in this country's development. It is a peculiarly American holiday, but it is also designed to be a time of Thanksgiving. The Puritans got together and they thanked God for his provision, for his sustenance, for his protection, and for their salvation. And that was the very, very foundation of it. But as has happened with so many of the holidays that we as Christians observe, the great God of secularism, little g, has taken it over and surgically removed God from it. Most of the tables in this country will thank their lucky stars, they will thank chance, they will thank their good fortune, but they will not thank God at all. But my focus this morning is not on them, so just put them aside. You know, I was asked if this was going to be my yearly rant on Thanksgiving. It's not. I have a different focus this morning, but I had to get a little rant in there at the beginning nonetheless. But I'm not interested in that group of people. I am interested this morning in the Christian community. But even then, I'm not interested in the entire, it's not that I'm not interested, it's my focus this morning is not towards the entire Christian community. Because so many Christians today will fall into the secular observance of Thanksgiving. They will not mention God, or if they do, it's going to be a very precursory mentioning, or else they feel that there's someone at the table who might be offended if they mention God and Jesus, so they're going to keep it under wraps. Well, if that's you, I'm sorry, but this message is not for you either. So we're just going to push that aside, because actually I'd like to speak this morning to a very exclusive group of people. And I hope that everyone here and everyone watching would fit into this group. And those are the ones truly born again who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and who are very desirous of richly thanking God and thanking him in with all the elements of Thanksgiving there. In other words, a full-orbed Thanksgiving. When I think about Thanksgiving and about the way I give thanks, I realize I don't do it well. In fact, my Thanksgiving is very similar to my prayers. I tend to quickly ask God for a lot of things in my prayers, and I think my Thanksgiving is sort of the same way. I quickly thank Him for a lot of things that He's done nice for me, and I ignore everything else. Well, that's not the model that we have in Scripture. It's certainly not the model that we have in Daniel. So what I want to do this morning, briefly, it's a meditation. It's not going to, of course, my meditations are longer than most people's sermons, but that's neither here nor there. But it is a meditation, and I'd like to look very briefly at this passage and to pull out of it the elements of a full-orbed Thanksgiving. Now, most of you know the story of Daniel at this point. Let me just refresh your memory. That Daniel is in Babylon. He has been kidnapped, probably no more than a teenager. He was part of the first wave of exiles around 605 BC. He's been taken to Babylon, where, because he is bright, he has been placed in a sort of a training camp to be a magi, a wise man. But he's been inundated with the culture and the language and the religion of Babylon, which was very cultish, very pagan in its nature. So Daniel, of course, maintains his faith throughout the book. He never wavers a bit, but he has to sort of walk this minefield, tiptoe through, because you never know with a king like Nebuchadnezzar, you never know. He would just as soon take your head off and say hello to you. So he's always sort of in fear of doing the wrong thing. Now, of course, he's already won a great confrontation because he refused to eat food that would defile him. And so we see that he's very intent on staying true to the Lord. Well, nonetheless, there's a great dilemma going on among the Magi of Babylon at this particular time, because King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and this dream troubled him. So he went to his wise men. He said, I want you to interpret my dream. And the wise men said, oh, great king, live forever. Well, that's what we do. You know, just tell us the dream, and we'll be more than happy to give you the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar came back and said something that none of them expected. He said, you guys are supposed to be in touch with the spiritual world. You're supposed to know the gods, little g. So I want you to go to them and ask them not only what the interpretation of my dream is, I want you to tell me what the content of my dream was. Well, I mean, the Magi said, no one has ever asked for this kind of thing. We cannot possibly do that. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, well, then I cannot possibly let you live. So, you know, come on. I mean, we're going to pull you limb from limb. We're going to take your heads off. We're going to execute every single wise man in all of Babylon. Well, when Daniel heard this, he made a beeline for Arioch, who was kind of his supervisor, and he said, I need an audience with the king. And that's where we're going to pick up our story, because he goes to the king right off the bat and says, you know, I can tell you what your dream is. Just give me a little bit of time. Now, that's when we get this great prayer, and in that prayer, I'm going to see several elements of really true thanksgiving. We're not going to get to the actual thank you until verse 23, but we're going to see that a full orb thanksgiving is not just saying, God, thank you because you've done good things for me. In fact, the first point I want to make is that Daniel is thanking God in the midst of tremendous adversity. Don't forget, he's been kidnapped. Don't forget, he's been taken away from his family and his friends and everything that he knew and held dear. He's been taken to a foreign country. They've changed his name. They've inundated him, trying to make him a little Babylonian and an occultist. And so therefore, he is not in a good situation. Of course, now he's threatened with a miserable and a torturous death if he doesn't do something that for human beings is absolutely impossible. So Daniel, first of all, shows us something. He shows us that if we're really going to have a full orb Thanksgiving, if we are really going to be thankful as we should, well, then we're not going to just thank God when he does what we consider to be good. Otherwise, we're like kids at Christmas thanking our grandparents for, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And that's not the kind of thankfulness that we're going to see in this passage. Daniel thanks God regardless of the circumstances. The second thing I want to point out before we actually get into the prayer itself is that Daniel's thanksgiving is based on actually an incredible faith. Let's back up just one verse. I know it's not in our passage for this morning, but look in the 16th verse there in the second chapter. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Now, I want you to realize he says that before God has even told him, I'll give you the content of the dream. He hasn't even asked God yet, but he has so much faith that he recognizes that if anyone is going to be able to accomplish it, it's going to be God. So that's another thing that we really need to recognize, I think, when we go to the Lord and we thank Him. That in the Christian experience, and you know this, it is all predicated on faith. Faith is at the center of who we are as Christians. We're saved by faith. We grow by faith. But if we just give thanksgiving without truly believing in the one to whom we are thanking, okay, that we are attributing the things that we are thanking for. Because so often, I think what we do, and especially non-Christians do that, they may thank God. They may say, oh, thank you, you know, for the man upstairs. We're so thankful for what we have here. But actually, they're not thanking Him because they really don't believe in Him. They don't believe that their good fortune actually was a gift of God. They're believing that I had something to do with it. I'm the one who brought this about, and I'm really going to be extra good because I'm going to give God the credit for it. Well, that's not faith, and that's not a full orb thanksgiving. If you're truly going to thank God for the things that are in your life, then you have to believe that He is the God that brings everything to pass. So faith is a fundamental part of our thanksgiving. The third point that I want to make, and this is getting into our this text this morning, is that thanksgiving expresses or recognizes a need. And look at the 17th and 18th verses here. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Right there, that's the pressing need. And Daniel recognizes the rest of the satraps and magi and wise men and astrologers, boy, they've given up. There's nothing that they can do. They're making their wills out right now because they know that they're toast. But Daniel is different. Daniel recognizes that you take your need to the Lord. And he has a desperate need. His need is something that only God can fulfill. So brothers and sisters, when we sit down to thank the Lord, if we really want to have a fullness in our thanksgiving, we need to never forget the desperate need that we have of a Savior. Because our situation pales next to Daniel's. Because Daniel, if he gets killed, there's a time of torture and pain. But he's an Old Testament saint. He's in the presence of God forever and ever. Now, we, before we come to know Christ, we are in a dilemma because we face an eternity of torment in hell. And so, therefore, we have this desperate and deep need. And if that need is not in some way granted to us or taken care of, then what do we have to be thankful for? So, I would almost go as far to say that part of every Thanksgiving, and I don't mean the day of Thanksgiving, I mean every time we sit down and we're thankful to God, we should thank Him for Jesus because He's the very center of our need. He's the one who fulfilled the need. He's the one who pulled us out of darkness. He's the one who's prepared a place for us. So when we thank God for whatever, I'm not saying we don't thank Him for the more trivial things in our lives, but thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him for redemption. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for humiliating Himself and coming to this earth and living a life as a human, because that's our great need. And true thanksgiving, I think, never, ever forgets that need. Well, point number four. Daniel, I forgot to tell you I was going to give these to you in bullet points. That's kind of what I'm doing. I'm giving you the different elements that I pull out of here. But Daniel blesses God as part of that thanksgiving. Look there in the 19th verse. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. So there we have it. Daniel prays. He and his friend pray. God responds by revealing Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation to him in a vision of the night. Notice Daniel's response. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Down in the 20th verse, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Now this brings up a question in my mind. I don't know if it brings in one of yours, but how do we bless God? How do you say something like that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Well, it's impossible for me as a fallen, sinful human to impart a blessing upon God who is the source of all blessings. He's the one who blesses me. So when Daniel says, blessed be the God of heaven, in what context is he actually blessing God? Now, I know God is blessed when we are faithful to him, and I realize that. But I think we can get a clue of how Daniel is using this by looking at the Hebrew word for blessed. It's the word barach. They kind of have that that nasally kind of thing at the end of their words. And it's a word that means, it means to praise, it means to bless, it means to exalt. But it is also a word that means to kneel. And actually, Daniel uses that same word in another instance when he is praying. Perhaps next year we'll talk about that particular prayer, because this is minutes, actually, before he gets thrown into the lion's den, because there was an edict that says, thou shalt not pray to anyone else but Darius. And he ignored the edict, and he knelt down, and he prayed to the God of heaven. The exact same word. So when we talk about blessing God, and if we look at that word, I think it speaks of a proper position before God. I know that some of you don't do this, but I'm a firm believer in my personal, my private prayers of assuming a position before God. My prayer life increased tremendously when I started getting on my knees, literally, and spending my prayer time in the mornings on my knees. I know other people, like Dr. Sproul, says that his position is flat on his face on the floor. That's how he prays to the Lord. And I don't know, there's just something, it may sound corny, but there's something about taking that position. Because what it does is it humbles you. It's a statement of submission and subjugation, that I am coming before the God of heaven, and I have no right to approach you, even to thank you. And so therefore, I kneel before you. And I believe that's what Daniel is saying. Blessed be the God of heaven. But he is doing it with the full knowledge that he is submissive and subjects himself to God's sovereignty, no matter what that might be. So I see the way we approach thanksgiving to be as important as the way we approach God when we come to him in prayer. This is kind of a problem for us as moderns, isn't it? Because I can give you a principle here, and I can tell you that it is impossible, at least in this context, it is impossible if you are arrogant, self-centered, and entitled to truly be thankful to God. Let me repeat that. It is impossible, in my estimation, for those who are arrogant, who are self-centered and entitled, to truly worship and thank God. And that puts a big problem on Thanksgiving, because we are the most self-centered, arrogant, and entitled culture that has ever been on this face of this earth. And so most of the people are not submitting, are not subjugating themselves to the God of heaven. And so therefore, their thanksgivings are nothing more than a hypocritical farce. That's one of the reasons that I get so upset on Thanksgiving, because there is no honoring, no reverence whatsoever to the God of heaven. And that is such an essential part of our Thanksgiving. But then notice the fifth point that I want to bring out. This is the bulk of his prayer. And please notice that this comes first, that Daniel exalts the God of heaven. He praises him. Just look at the language he uses starting in the second part of the 20th verse. To whom belong wisdom and might? He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. So in other words, what Daniel is doing, he's on his knees, he sets the proper relationship between him and a holy God, and then he exalts the holy. And if you were here on Sunday, and we're going to talk about it again this Sunday, when I use that phrase, the holy, I'm not just talking about recognizing the holiness of God or stating the holiness of God. Wrapped up in the idea of the holy is the reverence for that holiness by the one who is addressing the holy. And so Daniel does that when he gives thanks to the Lord. Once again, just look at the way that he does this. He has wisdom and might. All wisdom comes from God. All knowledge. He's omniscient and he's omnipotent, all powerful in the world. He changes times and season. This was Pastor Sidwan's favorite part of this verse, I think. It talks about God's providence. It talks about him as being the sovereign over all of what happens. He's not a random God. Things don't just happen by accident, as the world thinks. And so when people say, thank my lucky stars or thank my good fortune, they're thanking something that cannot possibly do anything for them. Daniel recognized that God and God alone was the one who changes times and circumstances. He removes kings and sets up kings. In Daniel's day, there was no more powerful nation on earth than Babylon and no more powerful man on earth than Nebuchadnezzar. And everyone attributed him supreme power, including Nebuchadnezzar. It got him in trouble later on. But Daniel knew that he's an ant in God's eyes, that the only reason that he has power is because God has placed him in that power. And so he was reverent and honoring of that power, just as the New Testament teaches us. Paul tells us without question in Romans 13, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So therefore, we should thank God for the governments that he places over us, no matter how much we may disagree with those governments. And we should be submissive to those governments because we know that God has placed them where they are. The only time we break that is when they tell us to do something God has not ordered, or they tell us not to do something that God has ordered, like when Daniel prayed, even though he ended up in the lion's den. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. As I said earlier, there's no wisdom that comes from the world. I mean, in fact, the worldly wisdom, listen to what James says about worldly wisdom. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that he had just been inundated as far as Babylon was concerned, which was very advanced at that particular point in time, was nothing but demonic. And you can't be demonic without being satanic at the same time. That's the wisdom of this world. But God's wisdom, again, as James says, is the wisdom from above, is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And so we see that this is how Daniel is exalting God. He reveals deep things and hidden things. There's nothing that is hidden from God. He is absolutely omniscient. He knows every electron that has ever been made and knows exactly where it is in the entire universe, knows what's going to happen to you. And he goes on and he says he knows what is in the darkness. The Bible tells us that darkness is light as far as God is concerned, that there is nothing hidden from Him. So when we bow down to give thanks, remember that the one you're giving thanks to knows what's around the corner. You don't. Knows what He has planned for your life. You don't. Knows the length of your life. You don't. You don't know any of these things, and yet God knows them all. And so that kind of puts a different perspective when we sit down or kneel down to thank that Lord. And finally, Daniel says, and the light dwells in him. And I believe this is Daniel just underlying what Scripture says, that he is the holy. John tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is the absolute, unapproachable light that he lives in. And so therefore, the light dwells in him, the truth and the righteousness. So the point is this, is these are the things that Daniel says before he says one word of, thank you, God, for what you've given me. He talks about it. He goes to him in faith. He goes to him in the middle of adversity. He goes to him and blesses him and takes the position of someone who is desperately in need. He exalts him as the creator God of all the world. And then after he has worshiped him in that sense, he thanks him. And that's the full orb nature, I think, of this. So the thanking actually occurs down in the 23rd verse. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. So a very personal thank you. And again, as I said earlier, I think that this is the way I thank God is very similar to the way my prayers are sometimes. I'm just walking around, I'm saying, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And when I thank God, I say, thank you for this and this and this and this. Almost always, those thank yous are done hurriedly without this kind of preparation. And almost always, those thank yous are for the things that I perceive as blessings. I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would probably win this bet. I would wager that most of the people who are going to thank God today around their tables are not going to thank Him for the adversity in their lives. They're going to thank Him for a grocery list of things that they consider to be a blessing. Well, with God being sovereign and knowing that God is good and that everything that He does, it has a reason and a purpose behind it, then we can thank God for everything in our lives, especially, as I said earlier, to thank Him for our salvation in Jesus Christ. To thank Him. You have been given such a blessing this morning. You are a member of the kingdom of God. You are in Christ's, you're a subject in His kingdom. Daniel speaks this way of the kingdom that you are a part of. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. That is our Lord Jesus. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So you've been given a great gift. You have so much to be thankful for. But when we thank Him, let's consider these other aspects of it. This kind of full-orbed thanksgiving that Daniel does. Now, one last thing, and then I'll be done. This is outside of our text. But can you imagine how popular Daniel got? Boy, you wouldn't believe what this guy who's in Nebuchadnezzar's service did. He not only interpreted the dream, he told him what that dream was. And so his popularity would shoot up all of a sudden. He's the wonder kid of Babylon. But Daniel takes extra care to make sure that will not happen. If you jump down to the 27th and 28th verse, here's what Daniel says to him. He says, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. That's a big but, and that's where his entire focus, his entire faith was. He gives glory to God, and that's the foundation of his thanksgiving. So, brothers and sisters, just to summarize the whole thing and put it all together, because God's glory is a summarizing of all of his attributes, to have a full-orbed thanksgiving is to spend a little bit of time giving God the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that is given to us in your word. Because we don't think about these things. We actually think we're doing good if we even remember to thank you in the first place. And we never actually take the time to thank you properly, the way Daniel shows us. But then we see Daniel do these amazing things, and you use him in such a powerful way, and we wonder, well, maybe if he did things that way, that, you know, our walk with you would be closer and more productive if we would try to emulate some of these things. And so I think it's good for us to see that even in Thanksgiving, that it is such a blessing or such a power involved with a full-orbed Thanksgiving. And I just pray that's the way that we thank you as we go to our tables, or even as we spend a few minutes now to thank you individually for the things that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us, please, as we sing in response?
And you may be seated. Those of you who have shared Thanksgiving with us before know that after a short meditation, we spend a few minutes taking the time to thank God for the things that he has done in our lives. And please don't feel that you have to give a full-orbed Thanksgiving. If you would like to thank the Lord, you can just thank him for specifics, because that's the nature of this particular time. Sometimes we pass a mic around this morning just because of, so the people at home can participate in this. We're going to have you come up here and speak on the Moment of the Word mic. Whatever it is that the Lord has placed on your heart, what you are so thankful for, we'll just take a few minutes to give him the glory, because he is indeed glorified when we thank him in Christ's name, knowing that all that we have is through Him and because of Him. And so I always started out with a time of personal thanksgiving. And I'm just so thankful for the way that God has continued to show us that He has every intention of providing for us. This has been a year of great challenges as far as our school is concerned, as far as the church is concerned, to keep up with the some of just major, huge expenses that have come our way. But God has been so faithful that He has provided individuals. I'm not going to say the congregation at large, because there are so many people who need to be part of the giving here as well. But there have been individuals who have stepped forward and made this a year that there hasn't been any question that the Lord has provided for us. You know, we almost bought that school earlier, and then we realized that when we prayed about it, that the Lord had shown us that, well, this is not exactly the right thing for you. And then immediately, literally, the bottom dropped out of the real estate market, and interest rates skyrocketed, and we got hit with a half a dozen major expenses. Literally, we would have gone bankrupt if we had bought that property. And so to see God's hand in that, it has just been truly a blessing this year. So we give Him the glory for that, because He is a great God who provides in our most desperate needs. So I'm going to open the mic up, and there's always a little bit of hesitation for the first person. Are we good? All right. The mic right over here, and you can come up, and if you have something on your heart that you would like to thank the Lord for, then just come on up and share it with us. Otherwise, this is going to be a real short service. Somebody's got to be first. That's just the way it is. There's always a first one. Thank you.
I want to thank the Lord for taking me through one of the roughest years of my life. My sister died in May, and yeah, I know He was with me the whole time. I was up in a place where I wasn't familiar with people, but He sent strangers in the airport, in the hotel, everywhere to help me. I've been through some illness here, and He's been with me the whole time. That's a time when I felt so alone, but He comforted me with His presence. I just thank Him so much. Thank you.
That is good. It is kind of amazing when you're in a place where you know absolutely nobody, and somebody you don't know comes up and comforts you. You know, then you know it's the Lord that's doing that.
I know when He spoke, it was meant for me to come up. And I believe that the biggest thing I have to be thankful for is His grace and His mercy. Because sometimes, you know, we go through so much and you begin to wonder, okay, is there anything to be even thankful for? And but there are always things, you know, to be thankful for, of course. There are many things, but if it wasn't for His grace and His mercy, would even Jesus been here? So I just want to thank you, God, for your patience with me during this time.
Amen. Amen. If it were not for God's mercy, none of us would be here, would we? We would all be doing what we deserve to be doing, which is home cooking turkeys and thinking about thanking our lucky stars. It would be the Lord's mercy and grace that we're here. I hope you recognize the way I meant that when I say we deserve to be home doing something else. I hope that's a negative in your mind, right? I mean, to not be in the house of God worshiping and have the inclination to worship, you're here for mercy because of His mercy. So I'm not sure that came out the right way. Anyone else? Who's next? Brother Jeff, what a pleasure. Two services in a row. This is great.
Several 2 years ago, after my mom passed away, my brother died, and my dad passed away. I had brother-in-laws who died in a matter of 6 months, and I had two brothers who were in the hospital, and I couldn't take any more. And I told Lord, if you spare the life of my two brothers, I just don't need anything else from you. That's what I said. And then the Lord answered my prayer, and they didn't die. And later on, I went through some struggles in so many ways, and I thought the Lord was not going to give me anything else. Because I prayed that I didn't need anything else from him. And so when I realized that God answered my prayer and he gave me above and beyond what I asked or even think of, I just look at myself. I'm thankful that I know God. I mean, I'm just so thankful that, I know God, and He forgives my sin. He lives in me. He gives me everything. Gives me more than I ever asked or thought of. I am very thankful. I told my son to stand up and say, "I'm thankful for my dad." but I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for everything.
Amen. Well, we are so very, very thankful for the Lucien family and all that you have meant to us over the years. What a blessing you have been to us. And even now, the blessing that Ms. Me Too is working in our school and in our office and helping keep us straight there. So what a blessing that is. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just want to thank the Lord for people that I can go to when I reach the bottom. I was at the bottom, and there are a few people that I can go and just throw it on them and leave. And once I throw it on them, I'm a little relieved because the words that I can't find in prayer, they can do it for me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. When you can't pray for yourself, your brothers and sisters come to your aid. Rejoice when you rejoice, cry when you cry, hold you up when you can't do it yourself. That's the reason God put us together. That's the purpose, is not to look at someone and say, look at all the problems that they have, but to come alongside them and to pray for them when they can't pray for themselves. Joe, are you just kind of sitting there with that youngster to get closer? Would you like to come on up?
Hello, everyone. We're kind of strangers. We kind of sit in the back most Sundays. But anyways, I'm just thankful for this congregation. We're passing through. We're only here about a year. But I'm just thankful to the Lord for, Christians being everywhere we've traveled. The Lord places us with other believers who love him, who are intent on the building and edifying of the church and holding each other accountable to, to be in God's work of conforming us to his image. So that's why I'm thankful.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Joe, and families out there in the narthex. Now, you guys should realize something. You should pay special attention to verse 21 when it says that it is God who changes the times and the circumstances and the seasons. And you need to know that we are an imprecatory prayer congregation. And we like to see people come into our midst with plans and just ask that God would put a kibosh in those plans so they don't go back where they think they're going back, so they stay here in the family. So that's what, you know, you guys, you might as well know that, you know, that we're asking the Lord that he's just going to, you know, kind of change the times and the seasons. No, I'm just kidding. You know, God bless you guys. We're glad to have you. I mean, you should have seen their eyes when I said we prayed in precatory prayers. It's like, ah! Okay, I'm sorry. Who's next?
I want to thank God for my salvation. It is amazing that I know him, that he chose me. And you know what? It's great to be able to serve God like we serve. So I I'm in awe of him. And like I said, I just thank him for choosing me to come and be his child, because in the good times and the bad times, I know he's my father, and I have seen him. I have felt him. And you know, recently when Pastor was teaching about our faith growing in the dark times, I started to thank God for the dark times in my life, because I know that I have grown, and my faith has grown. And I can sit here and just tell you everything I'm thankful for, which is so much. But I just is enough to know that I know the God of gods, yeah, and the Lord of lords. And I love him so much, because he is always with me, and I can feel that. And today, my heart just overflows with joy and peace and love for him. And I, like I said, I thank him for that. And I thank him that in the last year, he has produced in me a healing for the many years of darkness that I went through. So, thank you. Thank you all for putting your arms around me and for Pastor. So, thank you.
Amen.
And thank my God.
Thank you. Ultimately, that's all that matters, isn't it? You know, when you stand before God and you think about all the things in your life that were meaningful, what is the one thing that is going to mean more to you than anything else? And that is knowing Jesus. You know, that is your salvation. Everything else pales.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm new here, so I just wanted to say a couple of words about how welcoming everyone has been. And it took me a while to find this church. And finally, I just Googled Reformed Church near me. First one came up. Because I've been listening to R.C. Sproul for years on YouTube. And I'm in BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, for 6 years. And I've, you know, come to know the Lord through Bible Study Fellowship. And I said, I can't believe this church is 5 minutes from my house. Where have I been? But it's been really wonderful, so I just wanted to reflect that to you. The pastor, Kay, I had to keep reminding, the names are, there's so many names that I'm mixing everybody up, but I got your name right.
Thank you.
You got Kay right.
That's...
everybody else. But it's just been wonderful, and to feel, I've been shirt shopping. I don't know if that's the right expression. Looking,
it works.
Searching.
I mean, everybody knows what you're talking about.
I've been shopping and searching, and it never felt right till I got here. And I just feel so welcomed, and I can't even believe I got the guts to get up here and say this. That's God.
Amen.
But I wanted to just acknowledge people that, you know, for the friendliness and the genuineness. And going to that fair was wonderful. And, you know, it's just been really amazing to come into such a welcoming community. So I'm very grateful for that. And God has really blessed me in so many ways, which I'm not going to get into standing here. But I'm just grateful for so many things today and for the pastor. And as I said to my friend, why isn't everybody here? I mean, this pastor is amazing, and he gets all, you know, excited about it. So that's how I feel. It's like, why isn't everybody here? So I'm going to try to bring some people with me. So anyway, God bless, and thank you for giving me this
talk. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So you found us through Google, huh? That's proof positive that God brings good things out of evil. Huh? Just joking. Who's next? Brother Bruce.
I'm an emotional person, so I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say. The Lord has been so good to me. He brought me out of darkness. Every day I pray for his thinking. I give him all the blessings. And I thank him for the church and our minister. Y'all have a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You say more in what you can't say than anything else you could say. Does that make sense? You guys know what I'm talking about? You know? Just in the emotion and what it means to you, that speaks volumes. Miss Lois? I realize it's much easier just to raise your hand and have the mic come to you, but we have an audience.
I'm a slow learner, but I'm beginning to learn to thank God for adversity because I begin to see his strength in a whole different way. I thank God that he created us like him in the sense that we can understand his goodness and his qualities. But then to understand the difference, my sin, and asking him to make me the person I need to be in adversity, to see his strength in a new way. I'm just beginning to understand that, but I do thank him for adversity because I have seen such deep blessings on the other side. Mm-hmm. And even through the losses that we have experienced as a family here in this congregation, I see the hope as we see new people coming that God is changing this church and making us something that we haven't been so far. And in the same way, he's making me that way as I learn from the adversity that it's his strength that counts. And so I'm beginning to be thankful for those tough times and so thankful that God is faithful through them and to see the blessings that come only because of that. There's no easy way to get those deep blessings. So I thank him.
Amen. How many lessons or stories from Scripture explain that exact fact, that it is through adversity that God builds us and grows us into who he wants us to be so he can use us, toughen us up. The whole idea of the dross on top of the metal when it hits the fire is to purify us so that he can use us more. Well, fire hurts, you know. It's out of adversity that he brings these things. Not to say that he can't grow us without adversity. That's why the means of grace are so important, because those are ways that he grows us without actually it hurting. Going on the mission field is another way, a good way that God can help you and without hurting, although sometimes it does hurt. It depends on where you go and what happens. But nonetheless, to learn the lessons Lois is talking about, to actually see the growth in adversity, that's spiritual maturity, and that's what God, the whole reason God does it. Anyone else? Oh.
Well, I thank God for inviting me to his table. I was with Matthew and the other sinners. And he came for those who have need of a physician. And he is my healer. I thank you for, he's the God of providence, that he uses things that we cannot understand to make us who we are. And I thank him that I have a table, that there'll be many sitting at today. And I thank him that he has a plan and a purpose for each one of their lives. And I pray that they will sense his presence and come to his table. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Miss Donna.
Hello, church. I am so thankful for the lessons that God has shown me over the last couple years. And I'm glad that he's in charge of my sanctification and not me. Because yeah. I would not have chosen any of the things I've gone through over the last couple years. But he, in his mercy and his goodness, has ordained whatsoever comes to pass in my life. And you know, it's really interesting. The last couple of years, I've had to really humble myself every time I come to church and I ask for prayer and the pastor prays for me, because he always mispronounced my name. And so now...
I discovered it. I got it right now, Donna White.
I couldn't resist. It was an election. It was a lesson in humility.
If that's the worst I do, then we're okay.
I really don't know what I'm going to say, except on the way to church today, it occurred to me that Christians get to use language a holy way and not the way that the world uses language. We know to whom we give thanks. We know, because blessed are our eyes because they see, and our ears because they hear. And we know there's a God in heaven who is the true and the living God, and we know that. So I was thinking today, coming to church, how people, much like you said today in your meditation, that they give thanks for things, like thank you for my health, thank you for my car, thank you for my job, thank you for my family, thank you for sickness because it brought me closer to you. And I mean, that's a thing. But it occurred to me that we, as believers who know the Lord, we switch our preposition and we say, we give thanks to God. Mm-hmm. I know who I am thanking, and he is the true and the living God. And there's nothing to be more thankful about than that I can know him and be conformed to his image. And I'm thankful that right now, this is my now place in the body of Christ. For this season, I'm at New Hope, and I'm grateful for all of you and being sanctified right alongside with all of you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Miss Wide. Anyone else? Usually it's right when I start to say, okay, and somebody pops up, but no. Let me close this then with just one more Thanksgiving. It's always, as someone who, as a pastor, I spend a lot of time with people who are towards the end of their life and suffering from one thing or another. And every now and then, you go through a time when a Christian leaves this world, and they do so with such grace and with such triumph. It just kind of sticks with you. And that really makes me recognize just how important, how significant thanking God for our salvation is. Because when it all comes to the end, when just like, as, and I'm talking about Lou Gander, and to watch his fight with cancer over the last, 20 months is pretty much the, and what a warrior he has been. But right to the very end, loving and praising God and thanking him, even as that cancer takes his life, thanking him for everything in his life. What a testimony. You don't see that in non-Christian end of life. You don't. You see terror. You see pain. You see anger. You don't see anyone giving thanks to God that he's about to leave this world and go into the next one. That's faith, brothers and sisters. And that is a great blessing that we get to see. We get to see that this life is not all there is. We get to see how important Jesus Christ is, that this is all according to his plan and his purpose. And every now and then, God just gives us a little window into that because he puts someone in our midst that we actually can see Christ in the way that they go through the trials of their life. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we have the opportunity as a church to come alongside, and we will have some information as far as his funeral arrangements. The one thing he wanted was to be here, you know, and so we'll have to schedule it, but we'll let you know when that's going to happen. But anyway, pray with me, and then I will give the benediction. Father, I just thank you for all of these discussions that we have just heard, and we know that we're seeing hearts all around this congregation that are so grateful to you. We extol you. We exalt you. We kneel before you. We recognize your holiness and our lack of. We know that it's your mercy that has brought us to this place. And so therefore, just as Donna said, we don't thank you for things. Well, we do thank you for things. It's important that we thank you for the things you've given us. But more than anything else, we thank you. We are grateful to you. We are grateful that all of our true blessings are from you, through you, by you, because of you, and all of them in Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that. And I just pray that you will bless the rest of the day, and that around many tables you will be extolled and thanked in a full-orbed kind of Thanksgiving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.